Hello, it's Wednesday, April 17th, and welcome to episode 324 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI Senior Fellow Morgan Vigna, and I'm joined today by NSI's Deputy Executive Director Jessica Jones and my fellow Senior Fellow Lester Munson. Jamil is once again on a plane. I know that is a shocker to no one. Last week, we somewhat jokingly referred to the supplemental for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific as a problem for next week. And I don't think we fully appreciated what next week would have in store for us. After Iran attacked Israel over the weekend, shooting over 300 missiles, drones, and whatever else they had in the kitchen sink, many in Congress, including Speaker Johnson, are determined to find a way to get the supplemental passed. Many options on how to do this include passing the Senate bill, which has been sitting on the House floor for around 60 days, passing a completely new supplemental package, or passing standalone supplementals for Ukraine, Israel, the Indo-Pacific, and a possible fourth on Republican policy priorities, and then stitching them together in the Senate. This is complicated by Johnson's own party's inclination to shoot itself in the foot once again and file a motion to vacate, which is being led by Marjorie Taylor Greene, which again should shock no one, and Thomas Massie. Les, I'm going to turn it over to you first here. I know one of our favorite pastimes these days is making fun of our own party, but things are actually getting a little serious here. We shouldn't be treating Iran's attack on Israel as a one-off event here. You know, Israel needs supplemental funding for its air defenses, and they needed it before this weekend. We see Ukraine really struggling to maintain the momentum to fend off Russia. You know, what are the chances here of this actually getting done? And what do you think it's going to look like?
Well, I think we have a pretty good chance of this getting done this week. Maybe it's going to be this weekend. Speaker Johnson has finally kind of rolled out this plan that everyone's been thinking about and talking about and wondering about for weeks. It's going to include separate votes on, you know, the different components, Ukraine, Israel, what have you. I would have said a week ago the Democrats would have been pretty happy to have the opportunity to vote against aid to Israel. I'm not sure that's true anymore this week, given, as you point out, the events over the weekend. But I think we're at a place where the opponents of Johnson have revealed themselves. And I'm not going to name names, even though you just named them. I'm not going to name names and point out that these folks have a history of anti-Semitism. One of them was the lone House vote against a resolution condemning anti-Semitism a couple of years ago. The other is famous for remarks about space lasers, which I won't dive into because it's rather unseemly. So if you're defined by your enemies in this town, Speaker Johnson has exactly the kind of enemies in his party that he should have. He's got to plow ahead. You can't let folks like this stop you from doing the right thing for the country. And thinking about this in terms of the impact on the election in November is a huge mistake. Members, particularly Republicans, should be thinking about how is this in the U.S. national interest. They should vote accordingly. Some of them are going to disagree on Ukraine. I understand that. I don't agree with them. But that's not a terribly crazy position. I think they should do the right thing and vote for Ukraine. I think they should vote for aid to Israel. I think they should vote for the rest of the package. And I hope the House includes a significant amount of humanitarian aid because there are other crises in the world that the U.S. needs to help address, including a huge humanitarian crisis in Sudan. So there's a lot on the line here. Members need to rise above parochial concerns and partisan concerns and see the big picture.
All right. So Les and Jess, for that matter, let's talk about why does the supplemental actually matter for Americans, right? I mean, we are the National Security Institute's Fault Lines podcast here. Our bottom line is always like, so what? Why does this matter to the average American? So Jess, I'm going to start with you.
I mean, I'd hope this is clear to most Americans, but suppose it's not. You know, we've got two conflicts raging in two different parts of the world with two of our allies and partners under attack. You know, Ukraine has, you know, brought over so many officials saying how dire the situation is. You know, there's troops without ammunition, which obviously hurts morale, which is one of the most important things in a conflict. And here we are still week after week. I mean, it's great that, you know, what is the update really from last week when it comes to Speaker Johnson's plans for aid, right? It's coming this week, hopefully. And I'm still waiting. Like, we don't have any actual substance out. We don't have any legislative text. We hear some talking points. We hear some what discussions and stories are sharing. We don't know. We don't know procedurally what's going to happen. And to Les's point, the weekend's rolling up quickly, 72 hours. There's a lot of things happening to get this to move this week. And so I'm waiting. I'm just hoping that this isn't a conversation we're having again next week, hoping that there's not more, you know, folks joining, you know, Massey and Marjorie on their motion to vacate. And that's the only update, it seems, from last week. And so the timing is dire. There seems to be a new priority in the Hill that continues to pop up in front of aid, like we talked about FISA last week. So I hope, and you know, we make the argument here, if Jamil was here, he would point out that a lot of the aid is actually going towards American jobs, you know, infrastructure, you know, production here in the United States. I think, you know, the Speaker Johnson said something like 68% of of districts across America would actually be positively, you know, impacted by this, by aid. So that's an easy talking point, but I would hope that the fact that there's two conflicts raging in the world with our friends and partners under attack would be enough to get people invested in this cause.
Right. And clearly, I mean, the United States right now, we suffer, you know, from our own production issues when it comes to, you know, producing precision guided munitions and other things, which are clearly going to be very, very useful in a fight against, you know, our adversaries, you know, across the globe. Les, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I agree. It's good to kind of see this as important for American jobs. That's a fine argument to make. But Morgan, I think the point you were hinting at here is the more important one. The U.S. needs to restock its supplies of armaments to be a credible actor in the world. We are, we're the biggest superpower. We have interests across the globe. We need to maintain a ready defense posture, and we don't really have that right now. And so a lot of this money is going to go to replace the stuff that we've sent to Ukraine, is going to go to increase production in the United States. Good for jobs, but really, more importantly, good for our own national security. This is going to be a nice way of sending a message to China. Hey, if you're thinking about making a move on Taiwan, here's some other stuff you ought to be thinking about.
So we're not sending that message, or have been delaying sending that message to China for how many months now?
Oh, it's been, you know, years. You're right, Jones. Like this should have been done 6 months ago when the president asked for it. And I'm not normally one to say Congress should take a backseat to the president, but Joe Biden was right to ask for this. This is important stuff. Congress should have done it 6 months ago. Let's get it done this week. It's the right thing to do. Vote for the national interest, not for some perceived partisan advantage, which, by the way, you're wrong on anyway.
All right. So before we wrap this, we're going to do another Les Munson lightning round. Is Speaker Johnson going to be House Speaker by June? Jess?
I'm going to be an optimist. Yes. In.
Munson?
Yes, he is. I predict the Democrats will not show up for the vote to help him. And once they send that signal, I don't think the vote will actually happen.
I think he will be Speaker by June as well. So with that, that is a wrap. Thank you to Claude Jennings, Devlin Burney, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Friday, April 19th, for our next episode of Fault Lines. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our channel and our smiling faces. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.